Welcome to 247 Real Talk. I'm your host, Julian Perry. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again for another episode of the 247 Real Talk podcast. I'm really excited about this week. This is the 199th episode, meaning next week will be the celebration, will be the 200th episode, and it will be the first ever live YouTube guest. And the first ever video guest. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll have someone who is dynamic and someone who will really make this a great experience for us to all to enjoy. I hope you can make sure that you mark your calendars or whatever to make sure you catch the episode next week, because the person I'm having on will bring a lot of interest to the episode. I hope you had a great week. As I said, we had some decent weather here. And right now, as I look at my cameras, I think it is drizzling a bit. I think Monday, was it? We hit 80 degrees. And now we're back down to the 50s and 40s. So winter is still hanging on and won't let spring, so to speak. Nevertheless, I'm thankful to be here for another week and closing on that 200th episode. Who would have thunk that when I first decided to do this podcast that I'd be celebrating 200 episodes with you and tens of thousands of downloads on the audio and thousands of downloads on the YouTube since I started. So I'm eternally grateful. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about a tale of two cities, so to speak, a country that's divided, as I will sort of recap and close out the climate that has dealt with or has been the underbelly, underlying climate that has existed continuously, and what we experienced during the O.J. Simpson trial. I think it is fitting now that he has passed on. We sort of put a cap on it for now. And I want to go back and just reflect a little bit, talk about some similarities that still exist today. So hopefully you're intrigued enough to join me. Sit back, relax, and I'll be right back. So welcome back. Again, a pleasure to be here with you. It is Wednesday, April 17th, as I look at the clock behind my camera, just about 8:32 p.m. As I said, it's raining out, or maybe drizzling. We're expecting a lot of rain tomorrow, but hopefully, you know, these April showers will really bring May flowers. So unless you've been hiding under a rock or something, you have heard you've been present, you know, to hear the passing of O.J. Simpson, and what that has represented in terms of regurgitating some feelings that people have experienced. People be reminded of that time when we were all, I think it was almost 9 months of a trial. We were all glued to the TV as We lived a period of time where this country was really divided. You had people divided, you know, for different reasons. You had a gender division, but most of all, you had race division, right? You had a situation, let's be real, this is real talk. You had a situation where a white male and a white female were murdered, and the suspect, the only suspect that seemed to come out of the whole investigation was O.J. Simpson. It was very easy early on for people to form conclusions and opinions because if you remember the famous slow chase on the highway where I think it was A.C. Collins, his friend was driving his white Bronco, the famous white Bronco. And, you know, just the fact that the whole world literally saw that, you know, we all tend to say if someone is running from a crime, they're guilty. Or someone is running from where a crime took place. Even in this day, right? If there's a robbery and the police show up and there's someone running and that, you know, that person can't really explain it right away, they're deemed to be a suspect. So what happened after that was O.J. Simpson hired the Dream Team, right? Kardashian and Cochran and all these people. And out of that trial, we saw many things. We saw Marsha Clark, and we saw Darden was his name. And we heard all of these things that went on during the trial. I think it was Judge Ito, if I remember. Forgive my memory if I'm missing something. It's been a while. And we heard, I think it was Cato, the guy who lived in the house or whatever on the property, and all the inconsistencies of the story. But when we talk about the trial, one of the main things that came out that seemed to be, I think, the one thing, in my mind at least, that basically had the most impact in winning the case for Johnny Cochran and the Dream Team was the saying that became famous, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. And he had O.J. Simpson try these leather gloves on. And there's been a lot of theories about the leather glove. But it didn't fit. And ultimately, he was acquitted. Now, as I think back to what happened then, I remember there being a racial divide that was deep. One of the things that people criticized immediately was the cheering and the applause and the exuberance of people of color, black people. And as I think about that today, many years later, and I discuss it with friends, and I looked at what has happened in the world from then to now, you know, I recognize that there were a lot of dynamics that made up that celebration. We had a system that to this day, a court system, a criminal justice system that needs reform. We have a criminal justice system that to this day convicts more people of color than anyone else. They put more people in jail of color than anyone else. And I think part of the exuberance was that a lot of people, a lot of minorities, a lot of people of color, a lot of black people felt that there was no way we could win. I remember every single day, literally, everyone to hear, what happened to the OJ trial today? It was like we were expecting that the system would somehow beat him and he would be convicted. And it wasn't about really the crime itself, right? It was a gory crime. The details were gory. It was a brutal crime. There was a lot stacked against him with the slow chase and all of that. But I think what people felt was in a system that has convicted so many people of color for so many reasons, reasons that are unfounded, reasons that are purely prejudicial. I think a lot of people felt that on that day, they won. In a system that was rigged against him. It became less about guilt or innocence. On this show, I have covered a few trials. I did a specific episode that dealt with 6 or 7 men of color, black men, who were released from prison 10, 20, 30, 40 years later. They were convicted and they were innocent. But they were convicted in a time where the color of their skin convicted them. I remember a specific case, and I don't remember the names, but I remember the circumstances of the case I brought to you where there was a young man who was known to the police, and there was a murder that was committed, and it was on the, the murderer actually lived on the same block. They had similar names, but their photograph was completely different. And even the judge ignored the fact that the names didn't quite match and the pictures didn't match and convicted him. And I think he spent, that might have been the one that spent 19 years in jail, I'm not sure, before one of these innocence projects says, this is so blatant. Look, this person has a different name. It's similar, but it's completely different at the same time. And look at the photo. It's not the same person. And that's what it took to have this person exonerated after losing 19 years of their life in the penitentiary for a crime they didn't commit. There were people in that trial, and I will, if you go back through the list of my episodes, you'll find that episode. But there were people in that trial who not only vouched for his whereabouts, but there was some instance, if I remember correctly, when I recounted it, where his presence was verified miles away, miles and miles away from at the time the crime was committed. And there were witnesses on his behalf who vouched for that, who had unrefutable evidence, and the judge did not consider any of it. He's simply known to police. This is the guy. Name is similar. Pictures already matched, but who cares? It's a black guy. Jail. Life. And 19 years. Could you imagine? I want every single person who is listening to my voice, who listens to this episode, to imagine this. Wherever you listen to this episode, I'm recording it right now. Whenever you get to listen to it, whether it be in your home, in your car, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your jogging in the park, you know, on the train, on the plane, wherever you are. Think about your life at this moment that you're listening to this. Think about the plans you have to go home and see your family, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your parents. Think about walking up to the front of your home, and as you almost make it to the door, you're rushed by police who handcuff you, take you to jail, process you, take you to court, have charges read against you. You can, without a doubt, know you didn't do it, and tons of people around you can tell them you were nowhere there. And you feeling at least, well, this is a mistake because, you know, there's 50 people who can tell you where I was. I can prove it. And the judge ignores all of that, and all of a sudden you're sitting in front of in the court at sentencing day, and you get life in prison. It's like a dream, right? Think about how bad that would be when it gets worse. They put you in that prison van and take you off to the penitentiary, strip you down, power wash you, or whatever they do. Maybe that's in the movies. I don't know if they do that for real with the hose. And then give you prison garb and take you off to what would be maximum security for murder, right? And all of a sudden, you're faced in, you who have probably never fought a battle in your life, maybe you've never been in a fist fight. And all of a sudden, you're in jail with the most vicious, violent criminals there are. And you don't know what happens. All you were doing was living your life innocently. Think about how all those men of color over the years who have been exonerated, some of them spent 40 and 41 years in jail. I remember watching America's Got Talent one time where I think it was a man, a black man, who sang, and he talked about being exonerated after spending 40 years in jail. There was another one I think I covered with a man who he had died, I think, right after he got out of something, but he had the longest sentence. I think it was like almost 60 years in jail, and he was innocent. So here we are in 2024. Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about the payback first. So many years later, someone white, I'm going to use the word white, we'd like to be politically correct and say Caucasian, white is white and black is black. Someone who was a white person somehow stole property of O.J. Simpson. And he got some friends and went to that person's hotel room to retrieve the property. Now, it was pretty obvious to me as I read the details here that this was all orchestrated. You know, he was fed information as to where his property is. He was set up. I will always believe that. But basically, this was payback to me, to him, for being acquitted. He was convicted and sentenced to 33 years in jail. He didn't kill anybody. There was a weapon at the scene, I believe. But how many other people have been, we have walking the streets today who have been caught with a weapon and who have committed even a crime and they're out? He spent 9 years in prison before he was paroled. And most people of color will tell you, as far as we're concerned, that was payback for him getting off. This is the tale of two cities. Here we are in 2024. We're about to go to another election in November of this year. 4 years later, multiple checks done. Biden won the election by some, I think it was 5 to 8, somewhere between 5 and 8 million votes. And we still have a huge part of our society, whites, who believe the election was stolen, who believe that somehow the Democrats rigged 5 to 8 million votes. I've spoken to people in stores I've gone to who looked at me and said, you know they stole the election, right? People who, if they didn't open their mouth, would have seemed very intelligent, seemed elegant, until they spewed that nonsense. We have a situation where we have a candidate running for president that, in my own opinion, has too much baggage to be in that situation, that should have been dealing with that and not be, you know, we as a society should have been able to find alternative candidates to represent our country as president. But what has happened is that this country has gone, has regressed into a black and white hatred again. All the progress we made since I Have a Dream speech, all the things that we count as accolades as to, you know, people of color in positions, high positions. We've got people of color on the Supreme Court. You've got people of color in government. We got people of color holding major positions in big, in huge companies, corporate America. We've got entrepreneurs who have amazing businesses. We've got people of color who are billionaires, running their own business and giving back to society, and you know, in major measurable charitable contributions. And still we are like an ocean of salt with some speckle of black pepper in it. That's what we look like in today's world. The fact is that people who try to make excuses and say, what is systemic racism? There's no such thing. Those people simply can't deal with the fact, or can't come to the realization that we're all human. They can't digest the possibility that people of color become equal with the rest of society, and that there's no differentiation based on race, creed, or color. I'm prompted, and a friend of mine reminded me this evening about the George Zimmerman case and Trayvon Martin case, the one that spurred that Black Lives Matter movement. I've thought about this a lot over the years. Florida is one of those states that has stand your ground law. So the technicality in that case was that Zimmerman pursued Trayvon Martin. But when Zimmerman stopped and Trayvon Martin turned around and then went after Zimmerman, the representation of that law sort of shifted from Trayvon Martin, who was being involuntarily pursued, to the benefit of George Zimmerman because he had stopped pursuing. And what has bothered me about that to this day is the fact that George Zimmerman took it upon himself to initiate the action that caused this whole catastrophe, that caused Trayvon Martin his life. Trayvon Martin was doing his own thing, walking home to his house, I believe, his father's house. George Zimmerman profiled him as a black man. George Zimmerman pursued him. The minute he pursued him, and had a firearm on it, but the minute he pursued him, that became the initiator. Yet, he was never paid the ultimate price for causing Trayvon Martin's death. We have a society that's so twisted that even though we have the Stand Your Ground law, the laws are so designed that they benefit one but not the other. If I chase you and you run into traffic and you get hit by a car, it's my fault. If I chase you and then I stop chasing you and you turn around to come back out of traffic and get hit by a car, whose fault is it? Let's just call it the way it is. If I hadn't initiated the action, I had not chased you, none of this would have happened. Well, this is a similar thing that I'm talking about with Zimmerman. He initiated an action that caused someone's life, and he is walking free, and Trayvon Martin never got to live his life. And in this day in 2024, looking at the things that have happened in this world, looking at, we went through a period of time during COVID and post-COVID where the story, you know, was the storyline was that COVID started somewhere in China and people were randomly attacking Chinese people on the street. We fail to realize that if we have to fix the system, we first have to fix ourselves. This country is broken when it comes to race and equality. I am pretty sure that if there are enough innocence projects who get to look at every single case of all those who are serving time in the penitentiary, there's going to be a lot more men that this country owes money and their lives to, because there are a lot more innocent men in jail. I had one guest I spoke to who was on the audio podcast as well, who runs I forgot the name of the program out of Los Angeles, and they have a TV show, having men come on the TV show to talk about their plight and the fact that they were innocently jailed. They were innocent, and they were released how many years later? And I apologize if you're having a problem hearing me. My mic seems to be malfunctioning, so I'm going to bring it up here for a moment. So the bottom line here is that we have a broken city. We have a broken state. We have a broken nation. Even in New York, where it's a heavily Democratic state, racism is rampant. And I struggle to get to the bottom of this division in this nation. I mean, could you imagine if the roles were reversed? How would you feel as a white person if you were enslaved by a black man? And you would sit there trying to figure out that you identical creations of God internally, your differences are the color of your skin. Maybe your hair. Some of you are born in the same hospital on the same day in the same state at the same time. Think about all those people who struggle. I mean, Generation Z is doing a lot better, but think about all those people who struggle because people decided to see past color and a person of color got married to a white person and produces a child that goes through being violated all their life by ignorance, by people who have decided that they don't fit in either place, both by their own, both by minorities and by whites. The biggest thing broken in this world is us, human beings, we have completely lost sight of what humanity means. And as we close out an era, so to speak, with the passing of O.J. Simpson, we must take the lessons from that and make ourselves better. We must take the time to understand why people of color cheered and how they feel to win something in a system that is stacked against them. If you have that many people of color being exonerated, how many years later? And the circumstances show blatantly that they were put in there because nothing was considered because of the color of their skin. Maybe it's time for a country and who tries to be the showcase for the rest of the world to spend some money behind real projects like the Innocence Project. I think there's one, I forgot the name of the one in Texas, Butler. But there are a lot of these projects around the world, these organizations who go after getting innocent people out of jail. And mind you, in that episode that I did where I talked about and I chronicled how many people who are out here free today who were in jail for 19, 20, and 40 years, I covered one specific case where the I think it's called the Texas Project. I can't remember what the name of it is, but they went to court with overwhelming evidence of this innocence of this guy who was mentally challenged, who all evidence showed that he didn't commit the crime, but he was on death row. And they went ahead and executed him anyway. They refused to even acknowledge this overwhelming evidence or even say, let's pause for a second because we want to be really sure that we're not putting another black man to death. 2024, we've got technology going at a rate that we can't even understand. We've got AI that seems to be the next big thing to take over the world. Everything is evolving in technology and this world around us. The only thing not evolving is the hatred in our hearts, the prejudice in our hearts, the divisiveness of this nation, this world, because of the color of our skin. We can go from cars that use steam, boiling steam, hot water, to move to e-cars. But we can't get past the fact that we're all one, created equal. And the only thing that should differentiate us is the content of our character and our abilities and not the color of our skin. So as we give our thoughts, because I've learned that as people leave this earth, their immediate family always remember them, but the rest of the world forgets. We often hear people eulogize people and say, we will never forget. But the bottom line is, take it from someone like myself who lost my mother, I never forget. I still have days of my life. My mother's been gone 10 years this year. March 17th this year was 10 years. And it was either yesterday or today, I was thinking about her as I was going into work, and a tear came down my eye because a part of my heart left that day. There are not a lot of people who remember how kind and passionate she was. Bottom line is, people do forget. We have to remember how valuable we are. And if we want to have a life that's a difference to ourselves and to those to come, we have to make a difference. We have to change the way we live. We have to accept each other for who we are and whose we are. Understand that we were created by one God. And if you're not someone who believes in my creator, understand we were still created the same. It is too far in history. We're too far ahead of the past to have the past still live in our present. and in our future. I thank you so much for being a part of your week again this week. Irrespective of how you feel about O.J. Simpson, whether you follow his football career or his murder trial, as a human being, as someone who has children and grandchildren, God, our Creator, is the only judge and jury. So may he rest in peace. I wish you a great weekend, a great week ahead. I do ask you to please share, like, subscribe. Next week is a 200th episode, and I'm going to try to make it a really good one. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. And I hope you're already looking forward to next week, the 200th episode. And I promise you I'll have the mic problems fixed by then. So until we speak again, until we get a chance to do this and share and bond, have a great weekend, a great week ahead. Do take care of yourselves, and please take care of each other.